This podcast's only purpose is for informational use. It is not a recommendation to buy or sell a security. Investing in the market is risky, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Welcome back to episode 17 of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast. This one is on renting versus buying. Bubbly, sparkling wine on the side. Back with another episode of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast, the podcast where I give my 2 cents on the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your money. Cryptocurrency is one of those things that a lot of people love, but no one understands completely. Everyone is familiar with Bitcoin, and maybe you've also heard of XRP, another cryptocurrency. XRP's fintech company Ripple has stated that they are expecting to be sued by the SEC over violation of investor protection laws. Basically, the SEC is claiming that Ripple sold XRP, which is not registered as an investment contract, and instead as a currency. Ripple CEO Brad Garlinghouse defended the sale of XRP and questioned the sudden scrutiny Ripple found itself under by saying, "XRP is a currency and does not have to be registered as an investment contract. The SEC has permitted XRP to function as a currency for over 8 years, and we question the motivation for bringing this action just days before the change in administration." Who knows what the reasoning is behind this sudden scrutiny, but XRP has been around for a very long time, and it's kind of interesting what's going on. But what is XRP exactly? On Ripple's website, XRP is described as a digital asset built for payments. It is the native digital asset on the XRP ledger, an open source, permissionless, and decentralized blockchain technology that can settle transactions in 3 to 5 seconds. XRP can be sent directly without needing a central intermediary, making it a convenient instrument in bridging two different currencies quickly and efficiently. XRP and Bitcoin are one of the few most popular cryptocurrencies being traded and invested in right now. But with this lawsuit, we'll see if there will be any bumps in the road and more regulations around cryptocurrency. All right, enough about that. You didn't turn in to listen to my unintelligent takes on crypto, but today we are talking about renting versus buying for Gen Z. Recently, I've seen a lot of TikTok content about renting and how some people perceive it as you getting scammed by some landlord who is extorting you because you don't have a place to live. I never really thought of it this way, but I personally, just my point of view, don't really see it this way. I think people see videos of people with rental properties and they are showing the car that they drive and it's super nice and they're basically like, I can afford this brand new McLaren because I own all of these rental properties and I can cash flow them to pay for it. These rental owners are right. You can cash flow properties to pay for things like a new car, but I think there are only a handful of these real estate gurus. Chances are they have other streams of cash flow and maybe they even sell a course, but I personally think that they don't represent all landlords. Joel from the podcast How To Money owns a couple of real estate properties that he rents out to people, and I think he himself would personally say that he's a pretty normal, frugal guy. He has kids, a wife, a house, and only has one car to cut unnecessary expenses. He's not cash flowing these properties to pay for an extravagant lifestyle. In fact, he actually has a regular full-time job, and the rental properties are just his side hustle. He stated in one of the episodes that one of his tenants was having problems paying rent during the pandemic. I believe this was before the rent forgiveness programs. This tenant was a single mother, and it was tough to meet the expected rent for her. He said that she reached out to him to tell him this, and they met up to rediscuss their arrangement because of the current circumstances. He said that she had been an incredible tenant, and he didn't want to lose her, so he was more than willing to waive or decrease the rent for a couple of months until she got back in control. Now, of course, Joel from How To Money is a golden example of a morally driven property owner, and of course, they're not all like him. There are stories of terrible landlords, don't get me wrong. But in the conversation about renting versus buying for Gen Z, I think it's good to reframe what renting means and turn it into a positive. Renting could be beneficial in many ways. It's inexpensive in the short term compared to a mortgage payment. You, hopefully, don't have too much responsibility when it comes to repairs and maintenance, as that is supposed to be your landlord's problem. You can move whenever and wherever you want if you're paying month to month. You don't have to go through the headaches of finding, financing, closing, and the fees associated with buying a home. And finally, you don't have to be tied down to a place with a 30-year mortgage that you have to pay off. The part where people our age find trouble is living in apartments that you can't afford. If you want to live in Boston, the average rent is around $3,185 via rentcafe.com. considering that this is probably no more than a three-bedroom apartment, if you have three roommates, you will still be paying over $1,000 a month added on to your phone bill, car insurance, school loans, food, and whatever other expenses you pay per month. This is a huge expense that you would need a well-paying job to comfortably endorse. That being said, if you were able to find a relatively cheap apartment with a couple of roommates, then it would leave you free to fund any projects that you have in your mind or set off on that big dream of yours without getting stuck under the thumb of a bank when you use their money to buy a home. Personally, I don't see myself buying a home within the next 10 years, but if I were to start a family, then potentially it would be beneficial. And I mean, that's the whole point. Renting is about circumstance and your goals. If you want to be in a city where there's action or where you want to be close to people making money and starting businesses, then renting might be for you. But if your goal is to be comfortable and safe, then maybe you should consider buying a house down the road. It just might be in your future. So we talked about the benefits of renting. Now, what are the benefits of buying a house? Buying a house can give you the feeling of ownership, that you own a piece of property, that you've invested in a piece of property, and the value of that property is going up while you're paying it off. This margin is called equity. Another benefit to ownership is that if you plan on staying in that house long term and you're continually paying off your mortgage, then it could be beneficial for you in the respect that while you pay off your house debt, bringing it lower and lower, the rent is continuing to increase year after year. So if you own that house, you're not getting hit with these rising rent costs. However, we've been conditioned to think that buying a massive property is the American dream, but in reality, for some throughout history, it is an American nightmare. In the 2008 financial crisis, millions lost their homes, and some even had to claim bankruptcy due to people not being able to understand debt and leverage and mortgages as a whole. I'm going to do a separate episode on this topic, but it is definitely applicable to this. People bought multiple homes because banks told everyone that home buying was inexpensive, and then it was everyone's dream to own a massive house. When the market crashed, normal people lost everything, and these banks that set us up walked away with billions of dollars given to them by the government via bailout. So, in conclusion, I would say renting is the way to go if you have dreams that involve living in a city or dreams where you need to be able to get up and move at any time. If your vision is fairly standard and you just want security and a safe life, then maybe considering building a house or buying a relatively inexpensive first house is in your future. It's all about your future priorities and where you want your money to be spent. So that was a little bit of information about renting versus buying for Gen Z, and I hope it was informative for all of you. I just posted a TikTok today, which blew up actually quite a bit. I believe it's at around 350,000 views right now, which is awesome. But it was talking about how I'm investing around $300 a month into my Roth IRA, and that when I turn 65, I'll have around $1.5 million in my Roth IRA, which I plugged into a Roth IRA contribution calculator and did all that stuff. And some people were like, oh yeah, you know, I have a Roth IRA. This is exactly what I'm doing. It's, you know, that's the only, not the only way to go about it, but that's the best way to go about it. And then there were some people that didn't really seem to understand, which is completely fine because, you know, personal finances, for people who don't understand, it's not easy to grasp. But, you know, it was just that same thing again, where it was people saying, I'm going to be 65. What do I want with $1.5 million? And it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you? Like, $1.5 million is much better than zero. So if you're investing now and looking to that future, then I just am a little bit confused at the argument because people seem to think that it's not a lot of money, but $1.5 million is a lot of money. And you didn't have to work for some of it because of that interest, of that return. So I don't know. It's a little bit weird, but I mean, the only purpose of that TikTok was to get people to think about it more and maybe even begin investing, because at the end of the day, that's really my goal, is to get people, you know, confident with their finances and really take control of their money for themselves. And I mean, that's the whole reason for this podcast. That's the whole reason for my TikToks. And so I guess it's not a bad thing. I guess it's not a bad thing when there's an opposing view, because you get to have a conversation about it. You get to maybe change someone's perspective. But, you know, when someone's set in stone like that, it's kind of hard to change their perspective for the better. But I mean, I think I speak for all personal finance gurus where, you know, we're just trying to help. You know, I obviously have a lot to learn, and there's a lot of stuff that I am not familiar with, but I know the basics. I know enough to, if someone has a question, like how to open up a Roth or, you know, what to invest in, I have a general idea of what to say, but, you know, it's a good conversation to have. But I do hope that if anyone was confused on my TikTok, that, you know, I was able to clear it up in the comments section. I missed some of them. There's a lot of comments coming in, so I might have missed a couple, but I try to respond to as many as possible. And I hope you all have a happy rest of your holidays. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you again very soon.